tears a hole. The old familiar sting, try to kill it all away, but I remember everything.
This is We Rise and We Fall and We Break, and We Keep on Living Anyway. A Star Wars Legends Knights of the Old Republic video games fanfic, written by Revenkist and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairings Darth Malak, female Revan, Alec, female Revan, with additional tags for pre-canon Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, in flashbacks at least, alternate universe, canon divergence, canon typical violence, trigger warnings for an attempted jaw incident flashback, Starforge, Force Bond, light side Revan, female Revan, codependency, unhealthy relationships, unhealthy coping mechanisms, the final confrontation, TM, except different. This is not the fic I set out to write, but it's the one that ended up happening. Malak lives. May the 4th exchange, 2021. Author's notes. This fic is sort of a love letter to I Prefer Fiction's absolutely wonderful series, Reckless, Angry, Empty, which you should all read if you haven't yet. I did the best I could to write her version of Revan and Alec slash Malak as faithfully as I could, and used all the details she's given me in past conversations to make this as close to her headcanons as possible. I'm not entirely sure how successful I ended up being, but I had a lot of fun writing this. Once again, a huge shout out to Elena the Hun for beta reading this for me. Title is a modified set of lyrics from Wait For It from Hamilton. Reader's note. The series Reckless, Angry, Empty by I Prefer Fiction is currently titled The Darkest Hearts Aren't Bulletproof.
I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts. I cannot repair.
The Starforge echoes around him, whispering softly through his skull as Malak stands on the viewing platform, hands locked together behind his back, as he watches his fleet fight the Republics in the space outside the station. He should care, probably. The Bastila's battle meditation has clearly failed, that the Republic fleet is driving his ships back, that in all likelihood they'll soon push past his defenses to fire on the Starforge itself. The last great relic of the Infinite Empire will go up in flames, and everything Malak has built will go with it. Everything he's built, every chance of stopping the Empire in the unknown regions, everything he and Revan ever strived for. It'll all be gone soon. Malak doesn't care, because he doesn't expect to live long past it. Oh, with Bastila on his side, he'd have everything he needed to conquer the Republic. An infinite number of starships, Sith and soldiers alike loyal to his cause to their deaths. Perfect communication between them all. And that's deadly enough in the hands of a novice tactician. And Malak may not be Revan, but he was at her side and in her head for 6 years of war. He knows what he's doing. And the Starforge, and the Sith Academy, and the bones of an empire built on strength enough to save the galaxy. But the Jedi Council did their work too well. Micah is coming for him. Revan is coming for him. He's not sure which one is worse. It's unfair of him, maybe, to separate them that way. to say Micah Kazra is less than Revan, when he is the one who showed her who she was to begin with. He knows she's far more like Revan than the Council would like her to be. The dreams they've shared have shown him that. And he knows she remembers some of her past, of them, of the war and everything that came after. He can't help but wonder if she still wakes screaming, seeing green light cracking across her dreams. But Micah is a Jedi Knight, under orders to hunt him down and kill him. And Revan, as she was, at least the last time he properly saw her, is a Sith Lord he betrayed. And both of them are the woman he loves and hates so much it takes his breath away and tears his chest into pieces. And Malik is nothing if not realistic. He knows the chances of him surviving her are slim. He may have been the only person who could reliably beat her in the sparring ring, but that was more because of how well the two of them knew each other. Because for years, Malik knew her better than he knew himself. Because since he was 15, her thoughts have been a constant warm white noise in the back of his skull. And gods, but they haven't really been two people in years. Not until he tried to kill her. How could he ever have believed he'd succeed in killing part of himself? Malik already gave the order to kill Revan once. Whether or not she truly remembers him, remembers them, he knows he can't do it again. He's never quite been able to tear himself apart for the good of the galaxy, not the way she has. And a part of him isn't so sure anymore that this is for the good of the galaxy. Without her steady determination encouraging him forward, without her bright star for him to follow, he looks back on the plans they made and wonders just what they were going to save after they finished their conquest. They shattered themselves at Malachor to save the Republic, and look at everything they've done. Everything he's done. How is the tidal wave of death that was Malachor's destruction worth it, if this is really what he has to do? Force, he's tired. And not just physically. It feels like years since he's been able to properly rest. Since he followed at Revan's back when she went off to war. He's never regretted it. How could he? But sometimes, in the privacy of his own mind, when he's alone, he wishes they'd never left Dantooine. If they'd never gone to war, never followed those visions out into the depths of the galaxy... He shakes his head. It's a pointless thing, wondering. They never could have stayed away. Revan never could have. The Mandalorians needed to burn. And some part of him knows that's not why they went to war with begin with. That's not what they wanted. But it's been so long since he fought with anything but anger, he can't even remember what it feels like. And until he locked every good thing they'd ever felt into the depths of his mind and clung to red raw hatred and ordered the Leviathan to fire, he couldn't leave her, couldn't stand against her, couldn't watch her walk away without him. So they went off to war, and won. And then Revan turned and found a new enemy because she couldn't stand still. And it's been 9 years of pain and blood and anger. And he hasn't had time to breathe since it all began. Today, soon, one way or another, it'll all finally be over. Either he kills Revan, and with her the Republic's last desperate gasp of hope, or he dies, and the Republic wins, and Revan wins. And Revan always, always wins. But either way, the constant war will finally end. He'll be glad of that, he thinks. Another one of his capital ships explodes into orange-red outside the viewscreen, tearing into thousands of pieces of shrapnel and chunks larger than fighters, and one large section that spirals in slow motion toward another of his ships. They're all crewed by droids, except for the bridge crews. He doesn't have anywhere near the manpower to crew an entire, ever-expanding fleet. Not with half his personnel stationed on the planets he's conquered and his pilots in ever-increasing demand. Ships and droids, at least, are easily replaceable. Pilots and command crew are less so. And Carith, most of all. Bastila had been the only thing he could count on for victory after Onasi killed his best admiral. Perhaps not the best at tactics, but Carith had worked with Malak since early in the First War, and that kind of familiarity is hard to replace, even if any of the other officers he served with against the Mandalorians would still deign to join him. Pasek certainly wouldn't. With her gone, even if he kills Micah, kills Revan, the Starforge will still fall. It doesn't matter. Maybe everything will fall, and maybe Vitiate will win, and maybe Malak will die. But he never followed Revan as far as he did because of Vitiate. And after he turned on her, conquering the galaxy may have been all he had, but if he's honest with himself, it's never been what he wanted. Not truly. The Force curls around him, the Starforge whispering against the edges of his mind. And he knows the turbo lift to the viewing platform is moving. She's made it through the droids, then. He knew she would. Knew it wouldn't take her long, even. Not if she's anything like she used to be. Grace and fury, and a lightning-streaked storm in the Force. And so utterly, beautifully her, it takes his breath away. Even if he hates her more than he loves her. And even these days, that's in doubt. Malak stares unseeing out the viewscreen as another capital ship spouts a trail of fire. Vivid red-orange and blue-white, so bright it leaves streaks across his vision when he blinks and clings to the Force around him. Dark and sharp and bitterly cold. And once it had been a comfort, heavy enough to smother the guilt, feeding on his anger and his pain and the two straight burns slicing across his cheek. But now it's nothing but empty ashes he chokes on whenever he has space to think. And for a moment, the flames look like the setting sun melting across the scorched blue skies of Dantooine. He's running as fast as his legs can carry him, the long, burnt brown grass pushing against his hands when he flings his arms out to the sides for just a moment, tangling around his knees and crunching beneath his worn tan boots. He's 11 and skipping meditation, and it feels like there's nothing better in the world than the near burn in his calves, and the breath rushing through his lungs, and the wind against his cheeks, and the freedom of it all. Of a whole afternoon to lose himself, lose themselves, in the endless open space that is the plains outside of the Enclave, leaves him grinning wide enough it feels like his face could crack. Revan is just behind him, pushing herself harder than maybe she should to keep up, and when he finally skids to a stop at the base of a bilba tree with jagged branches, turning to lean against the trunk, she is gasping harder than he is. Cheeks tinged pink and sky blue eyes bright. Pieces of her dark hair falling out of her braid and sticking to her face and flying wild with static, and Alec resists the urge to smooth them down, reaches up to run a hand through his own hair instead. "I'll beat you next time," she says breathlessly, and he snickers. "Maybe if you ever grow taller," he says, giving her a wide grin that only widens at the offense on her narrow face. "Your legs are so short, you'll never keep up otherwise." "Hey,
way, she snaps. And he laughs. And the forest is echoing with so much warmth and light. He almost can't breathe from it all. In this moment, he is home. And how could he ever want to go anywhere else when he has everything he needs here? The open plains, and the wind blowing fresh and free against his face, and Revan by his side, the two of them together the way they've always been. The way they always will be.
Malik blinks, and Antoine is gone. Rubble. It's all rubble now, burning and blackened and nothing like he remembers. Even if, in the back of his mind, there will always be a wide open plain at sunset, and the soft whisper of a creek nearby, and a small house the perfect size for two people. A dream he has never, ever been truly able to keep. And he's staring out at the space beyond the Starforge once again, watching as his fleet shatters to dust. Something shivers in the Force. In the still shielded bond he hasn't been able to bring himself to touch. And the turbo lift doors hiss open. He doesn't turn. Just lets out a quiet breath that hisses through the vocoder on his Cortosis half-mask. Tightens his hands where they're clasped behind his back.
Revan.
He says, nearly dull. And it comes out far more exhausted than he means, even through the vocoder's softly threatening hum. Alec, she returns, and the softness in her voice makes something in his chest ache. He turns slowly, and all the heaviness of the galaxy feels like it's settled into his bones. Gravity dragging him down, down, down.
Not anymore. You know that,
he says. He'd seen her on the Leviathan, when she was nothing more than Micah, nothing more than a ghost. But he hadn't had the chance to look, not really. Not when he needed to gloat and she needed to die. It feels strange, wrong almost, looking at her now. Short black hair instead of the long braid he'd sometimes do up for her. The thin, pinkish-white scar across her face, a too stark reminder of his betrayal. But her eyes are the same steely gray that they've been since they were young adults, and there's a familiar steadiness there, a determination. Though, to do what, he's not sure. Kill him, likely. She's wearing Jedi robes, dark brown. Like he hasn't seen her in since before the First War. The First War! As though it ever truly ended. As though everything he's done since then hasn't been a continuation of everything he learned and became under the banner of justice. And there's a pair of bright silver hilts on her belt. And it's like too many layers of the past colliding all at once. Padawans on Dantooine and the war and everything since. Do I? She asks. And the bond hums between them. And he could show her. He could show her. Malik reaches out to the bond and rips away the shields he's kept up since his betrayal, since even before then. And he holds Revan's eyes, gold staring into gray, and he pushes. They're evaluating the apprentices again. It's hardly interesting work. Most of them used to be Padawans, a couple of former knights, and none of them are anywhere near his or Revan's skill. Especially not with lightsabers. But Revan wants him to test them himself. Wants his opinions on top of the observations she makes. And after the Talos affair, pushing her has been dangerous. Maybe he shouldn't have bombed it. Sure. The planet was a breadbasket, and she's right. Not that he'll admit it to her.
It would have been an invaluable resource. The Starforge will ensure they can never lose due to a shortage of ships and weapons, but without clear supply lines, even the strongest empire will fall. He knows that. But that's not the point. Once she trusted him enough that anything he said, any order he gave, was accepted as her own. What happened to that trust? This one, Farron, is one of the X-Knights. A rare Revenkist who survived Malachor, and is surprisingly skilled. Malak lazily bats away Farron's saber with his own, and the apprentice snarls and drives forward with enough fury it actually puts him onto his back foot, onto the defensive. Forces him to work to hold off the lurid red blade. Farron smirks as he bears down on Malak, catching his saber in a blade lock. The two of them only inches apart, sabers spitting sparks at their faces. Malak doesn't blink, and neither does the apprentice. "I guess he won't be the favorite after this," he says, voice so low it barely reaches Malak's ears. And the flash of red that streaks across his vision isn't just due to the blade so close. How dare this apprentice, this acolyte, not even worthy of a title or a name, imply that Malak's value to Revan lies in his skill. Malak is far more than this washed-up ex-knight will ever be, and Revan loves him. It has been and will always be the two of them against the galaxy, against the Republic, and whoever dares stand in their way, and no two-credit Sith who doesn't even understand the code will ever change that. Malak snarls, his mask's vocoder turning the sound into a threat, grabs onto all the burning rage in his veins, and pulls the Force around him and wraps both hands around his saber hilt instead of just the one-handed grip he's been using. Malak will show Farron, will show all of these new apprentices who think they can supplant him at her side, just what the cost of that will be. It only takes a couple of heavy-handed swings to gain the space to maneuver. Malak lets the Force flow through his veins and empower his strikes as he settles into the familiar motions of Jio, the dark hissing hungrily through and around him. The Force, a blade of its own, biting into Farron's defenses and knocking him off balance. The apprentice stumbles as Malak backs him nearly to the far edge of the dueling ring, and he can feel Revan's attention sharpen from where she's standing on a slightly raised platform watching the duels.
"That's enough,"
she calls, the mask amplifying her voice. Amplifying it, smoothing it into flat nothingness, into something deeper and impersonal. And for a moment, he hates it. And another surge of anger swirls through him. Pushing her isn't wise. He knows that. Right now, he doesn't care. Farron doesn't deserve to be her apprentice. None of them do. None of them can replace him. And he'll make sure they see that, make sure they understand. And this isn't going to be enough. It isn't going to truly prove anything. Revan used to trust him to run battles for her. Why can't she trust him to mete out punishment? Another quick 1-2 motion with his saber, and Farron's blade goes spiraling from his hands, clattering to the floor and rolling away to rest at the feet of another apprentice. A vicious satisfaction crawls through Malak's chest at the fear that blossoms into the Force. Farron is defenseless before him, and it makes him smile under the Cortosis half-mask. The bond hums, and even through the light shields he has up, he can feel Revan's surprise, her anger, can feel her straightening, knowing her eyes will be narrowing behind the mask.
"Malak, I said enough."
She starts. He doesn't wait for her to finish.
"No one,"
he tells Farron, low and intent,
"will ever replace me."
and his saber jerks forward. The training room is deathly quiet. In the silence, the muted thunk of the apprentice's body hitting the floor echoes. Malik lets his saber flicker out, returns the hilt to his belt, and crosses his arms over his chest, looks around the room, and dares the apprentices to say a word. He is Darth Malik, Revan's apprentice, Revan's second. Punishment by death is his right.
Everyone out.
Revan's voice is quiet, but it cracks like a whip. Icy and controlled, and sharp enough to draw blood. No one dares argue as she vaults the railing around her platform and lands with barely a flinch, boots heavy on the durasteel floor. They just bow and file out, and a pair of acolytes grab Farron's body and drag it away. Malik doesn't move as she walks toward him, just lifts his chin. Even though she's shorter than him, it feels like he has to look up at her almost, and straightens his spine.
I won't apologize,
he says, the moment the room is empty and she gets close enough. Revan tilts her head to one side, just slightly, and he stares through the mask's visor into where he knows her eyes, as golden as his own by now, are, and holds her gaze. The mask makes her inhuman to everyone else, makes her into the myth she's so desperate to be. But she's been wearing it for so many years now that he knows it just as well as he knows her face, can read micro-expressions into the way she holds herself, even without the bond. Right now, she is furious.
You disobeyed me in front of all our Sith, Malik.
She bites out. And even through shields, the bond twists with her anger. Malik lets it wash over him, through him. Lets it burn into his own rage and fuel it. Lets his eyes burn brighter.
You undermined my authority again. I thought I made myself clear after Talos.
The fire surges higher in his chest.
Made yourself clear?
He asks, nearly snaps.
You made yourself clear, all right. That you don't trust me anymore. I'm supposed to be your second, Revan.
Alec was my second,
she says. Too cold, too controlled. And he almost... He doesn't know how to breathe, suddenly.
Malik is my apprentice, and needs to know his place.
There's a pause, heavy with the weight of everything she doesn't say. And then she continues.
I trust you, you know I do. But we're Sith now, and when I give you an order, especially in front of the rest of our empire, I expect you to follow it.
It's anger. It has to be anger. The blinding, choking, drowning feeling that swarms over him, that leaves him reeling, that eats like acid through all his defenses. It can't be anything else. He can't let it be anything else. Malik loves her. But in this moment, he begins to hate her, too.
I follow your orders, master,
he growls out through the constriction in his chest.
But like you said, we're Sith now. Since when is a Darth obligated to let an acolyte insult him in front of others?
I don't care what Farron said.
Farron, is it?
He laughs, sharp and harsh and a little mocking, and her hands clench into fists at her sides. She's always hated being laughed at.
He wasn't worth your time, my lord.
He was the best out of all of them, and you know it,
she says. And the anger he can feel is rising in her voice, matching his own.
And you killed him. You wasted him. Just like you wasted Talos. Are you that determined to destroy everything?
He was an apprentice,
Malik hisses. And the dark is laughing and cold and gleeful around him. And he shouldn't listen to it. He shouldn't let it control him. He shouldn't give in. The moment he loses himself to it, he's no better than the Sith they found when they followed her visions. But he doesn't care anymore in this moment. Just lets the anger and the pain and that nameless thing, betrayal, it's betrayal, bleed into the force around him until it's sickly cold and boiling with all the emotion he can't put into words.
Enough,
she says, firm, sharp, and Malik?
No,
he says, and takes a step toward her, pressing nearly into her space, and the force curls around him like a cloak and a shield all in one, and it burns.
Am I really worth so little to you anymore that you try to replace me with an ex-knight you barely even knew?
He takes another step forward, and her hand moves to her belt, and somehow it feels good.
I will not be replaced, Revan. Not by you, and not by anyone else. You and me together against the galaxy, remember?
He scoffs, turns his voice scornful.
Or did you forget that when you made us both Sith?
A blinding fury spills across the bond, and Revan snarls.
I said enough!
Her hand is moving lightning fast, and Malik doesn't even have time to react before her violet saber snaps to life in her hand, and she's slashing it at him. And he doesn't even have time to duck out of the way before it crashes into the top edge of his mask, and oh, farce! Pain sears across the edge of his face, and he's choking on the white-hot agony of it, even as the blade sputters out across the cortosis. The force reacts to his pain and hurls Revan back from him, and he staggers, reaches up, and tears off the mask and backs away, one hand clenching so tight around his mask it bites into his skin, and the other pressing against his jaw like that could stop the molten flame spreading across his cheek. Revan is frozen in place, and he lifts his eyes to her, and he lets something that seethes and burns and aches like bitter hatred into his gaze. Get out, he says, low, and something in her shifts.
Malik,
get out! He will not let her see him break. Not now. And not ever again. And if all he is her apprentice, perhaps it's time he acted like it.
Revan has tears in her eyes when he releases his hold on the bond. She's gone pale. Hands shaking at her sides, and the horror on her face. She hadn't remembered, he thinks. He reaches up with both hands and pulls off the half mask, and takes a few steps forward, letting what light reflects in off the ships outside fall onto his face, so she can see the scar the burn left behind when she tried to take his jaw. So you see, he says, and his voice sounds strange without the vocoder, without that threatening curl. Sounds heavy and tired and aching.
I haven't been Alec in a long time.
I'm so sorry,
she whispers. And without the shields, the bond resonates with her sincerity, as genuine as anything has ever felt from her. It had felt genuine that day, too. Sick horror and disbelief snaking across the bond, filtering in even through shields for hours afterward, until he'd blocked her out so he didn't have to sense it.
Malik, I didn't...
You didn't know, he says. And it shouldn't sound so flat. But it's hard to look at her now, standing across from him like nothing's changed between them when everything has. When she tried to kill him, and he tried to kill her, and they nearly tore the galaxy apart. She means it, he's sure. Or she thinks she means it. But she always thought she meant it back then, too. Apologies given more out of habit than any real sincerity. Quiet words and gentle touches that, in the end, meant nothing at all. Of course you didn't. The Council did their work well. They never would have passed up a chance to turn you into their perfect weapon. She doesn't flinch. Doesn't argue. Not like Malik expects her to. I'm not here for the Council, she says. So quiet, it's hard to hear. I'm here for the Republic. I'm here for myself. Are you going to kill me then? He asks, and tosses the mask to one side. It clatters against the grating and comes to a stop against one of the stasis pods, holding his captured Jedi. And he watches as Revan's eyes drift over to follow it, lift to the Jedi, and he can see the moment she realizes what she's looking at by the way her face tightens. She doesn't react otherwise, though, just shakes her head. No, she says. No, I'm not going to kill you. Malik reaches for the anger he knows has to be there somewhere. He hates her. He knows he does. There's a scar on his face and a dented mask and his quarters on the Leviathan, fished so deliberately and delicately out of the wreckage of the Basilisk on his command, to prove it. But it's so hard to find. All the more reason for me to betray you, he sneers. But it rings hollow. And he knows she can tell. I don't want to fight you, Malik, she says, gray eyes shadowed and sad. And it makes something twist in his throat, in his chest, in his stomach. You don't even know me, he snaps, because this, it's too much. There's pain flashing across her face, and he can't keep things straight anymore, almost. The years as Sith are burning through his mind, and it's been so long since he was anything approaching a Jedi, but he can still remember her hand, bare in his, before they'd ever heard rumors of war. And he can still remember the tears in her eyes when she kissed him for the first time, after fire and death and a victory that was no victory at all. It was easier to pretend it wasn't her, that all of that, a lifetime of love and life and laughter, happened to someone else. Because it took everything in him to kill her the first time. And how is he supposed to do it again when she's here, in front of him, face bare, the way it hasn't been in 9 years, and eyes gray like they haven't been in 5? And he always, always fights and moves and speaks like he's waiting for the other half of him to fill in the blanks. You're right, Revan says. I don't. Not really. Not yet. But part of me is still... Her voice catches for a moment,
And she takes a step toward him. Part of me still trusts you anyway.
Don't,
he says. Because what is he supposed to say to that? She tried to kill him, and he tried to kill her. And only one of them succeeded. And the Jedi Council may have taken away her memory, but he's supposed to just accept that she still trusts him? The Starforge rocks beneath his feet, and Malik sways with emotion, watches Revan's gaze flick behind him to the viewscreen. We don't have much time, she murmurs, and he shakes his head. Why are you here, Revan? He asks, clasps his hands together behind his back again. He should reach for his saber, should force her to attack. It wouldn't be hard. Even if he no longer has the strength to kill her, at least he could force her to kill him. Could force her to finish what she started after Talos. You have, Bastila. Your fleet is about to destroy everything we spent years building. What's the point? She's still a tactician, no matter that the Council wiped her mind. She's smart enough to know there's no point coming up here. If Malik was going to try and run, if he had anything left to stop her, he would have used it already. And he knows she knows it. I told you, I'm here for myself, she says, and she closes the last of the distance to him. He could kill her now, if he wanted. Could mimic the move she made on him when she tried to cleave his jewel from his face, and she doesn't have a mass to save her. But no, he couldn't. I don't want to leave you. I didn't ask you to come save me, he spits. And there's too much bitterness in the words, but it hurts a little. Somewhere it really shouldn't. That the Jedi Council thought Revan was worthy of redemption. Whether it was a forced one or not, they gave her a second chance even after all the hatred they heaped on her for years, all the condemnation they gave her. But he wasn't. And his only crime has always been following where Revan led. Of course they didn't. They likely didn't think of him at all. Because all he has ever been is Alec. Is Malik. Is Revan's steady, loyal shadow. He was never the one who was meant to change the galaxy. All he was ever meant to do was break it. Revan is just looking at him. And he remembers too late the bond. Snaps up shields even though she's already felt it all, he's sure. I didn't think you cared about the Council's opinion, she says. Because of course she picked up on his thoughts too. I don't. And it's all he can do to keep from growling the words. Then why should they be the ones who decide if you're worthy of saving? Malik shakes his head. It doesn't matter, he says, tightens his hands around each other. You're the one who started this, the one who led me into the darkness. So finish it already, before the Republic brings the Starforge down on our heads. And Revan lifts her chin, an all-too-familiar look of determination crossing her face, and says, No. Damn it, Revan! He growls. Just kill me and be done with it. I'm tired of fighting your war. You don't have to fight it anymore, she says, something nearly pleading under the current of steady determination in her voice. I'm not going back to the Republic or the Jedi after this. She pauses, and there's something breaking in her eyes when she says, You're right. I started this, Malik. I'm the one who did this to you. Let me fix it.
The Starforge shudders again. And somewhere in the back of his mind, where a constant awareness of the facility sits, he can feel that it's damaged. That soon enough, it'll break into pieces. And he doesn't want Revan to die. The realization aches somewhere deep in his chest. At her side, he saved the galaxy, and he followed her into the dark, and he let her break him into pieces over and over and over again. And even after all that, he still doesn't want her to die. He never did. He just wanted the galaxy to see he was more than just her shadow. Alec, please, she says quietly. I'm so sorry. I followed you so far because I loved you, he says. And he knows they both know it's true. And as much as I hated you, I never could stop loving you either. Then give me another chance, Revan says. And it's Revan, really and truly here. Not a Jedi with her face and half her personality without all the memories to support it. This is the woman who was his best friend and his partner, and the only person he's ever truly loved, who he followed into hell itself, who he would have torn the galaxy apart for. Follow me off this station, and I promise I'll find a way to make it up to you, to make it better. If there's any way I can. Fallen and broken he may be, but a part of Malik doesn't want to die. It's the same part of him that, when he found out Revan was still alive, wanted nothing more than to hold her again. Like the last several years were nothing but a dream. And so, all right, he says. And his voice is too heavy. He doesn't even know if he can trust her. After everything she's done to him. Everything they've done to each other. But she's been the only thing he's had since he was 6 years old. And 24 years and 2 wars and half a conquered galaxy later, that's still the only truth he can trust. He doesn't need to know how he feels about Revan to know she's all he has in the galaxy. And when Malik follows her out of the Starforge as it starts to crumble around them, he leaves his mask where it fell. The end.